Hello and welcome to Talking Tudors, a fortnightly podcast about the ever-fascinating Tudor dynasty. My name is Natalie Gruniger and I'll be your host and guide on this journey through 16th century England. Are you ready to step through the veil of time into the dazzling and dangerous world of the Tudor court? Without further ado, it's time to talk Tudors. Everyone, welcome back to Talking Tudors, the Halloween special. I'm your host, Natalie Gruniger. Before we begin this week's spooky episode, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the wonderful patrons who continue to support this podcast. Your encouragement and generosity are very much appreciated. A full list of patrons is available on my website under the Patrons tab. If you love Talking Tudors and would like to show your appreciation and support the work I do, just click on the Be My Patron on Podbean badge on the homepage of my website, www.onthetudortrail.com, or click on the Be a Patron button on the Podbean app. Join the Talking Tudors patron family and you'll be automatically entered into our patron-only monthly giveaways. October's prize is a wonderful Tudor book bundle kindly sponsored by the History Press. It contains three fabulous Tudor titles, Catherine Howard by Connor Byrne, Tudor Folk Tales by Dave Tong, and A History of the Tudors in 100 Objects by John Matusiak. Now, on to today's special episode. Halloween is, of course, the season for ghost stories and tales of spine-tingling encounters with the unknown. As my sister, Karina Machado, said in her best-selling book, Spirit Sisters, there's nothing more delicious than when a friend draws close, lowers their voice, and begins to tell you a ghost story. So, dim the lights, friends. Light a candle, perhaps. What follows are three real-life encounters with the unknown. To begin with, I'll recount something strange that happened to me in Dover. I'll then chat to author Sandra Vasoli about some eerie goings-on that she experienced at Thornbury Castle. Finally, novelist Adrian Dillard will share with us how an evening of fun and frivolity with family and friends at Hever Castle ended with something very strange caught on camera. More straight after this short musical break, courtesy of guitarist John Sayles.
Thank you.
Welcome back, everyone. Okay, so I said in the introduction that I'd begin by recounting something strange that happened to me while I was in Dover. I said something strange, but it was actually a couple of things that happened over the day. A bit of background information first. 6 years ago, my family and I embarked on a month-long adventure, a sort of Tudor pilgrimage of sorts, travelling around the UK, visiting places associated with the Tudors and other interesting historic sites. Before beginning our adventures in the UK, we spent a long weekend in Paris. We visited a couple of sites there associated with Tudor people, like the Hôtel de Cluny, which is where Mary Tudor, Henry VIII's sister, spent 40 days following the death of her husband Louis XII. It's actually in that building that Mary went on to marry Charles Brandon, so it's a fantastic place. It's a museum now. We did other wonderful things before catching the high-speed train from Paris to one of the stations near Calais. We then caught the ferry across, so from Calais to Dover on the ferry. And if you've listened to the latest episode of Talking Tudors, number 52 with Sarah Griswood, you would have heard her recount something that happened when she was a child, walking with her mother on the cliffs of Dover, and they came across an ex-prime minister who went on to refer to the channel as liquid history. I absolutely love this quote, this statement, because it's so true. As I was crossing the channel, I kept thinking about, gosh, the so many people that have done that before me, and all the hopes and the dreams and the fear that crossed that stretch of water over the centuries. It's quite amazing. It's an amazing way to arrive into England, I think. So anyway, we arrived at Dover. It had already been quite a long day for our kids. We were travelling with our two children that at the time were only 9 and 5, so pretty exhausting day already. But it was too early to check into our guest house. So we thought, okay, we'll go get our car and we'll explore Dover Castle, as you do. So we went to Dover Castle before checking into our guest house, and we had a wonderful time exploring the castle. And it was a very, very windy day, I remember, and the kids were loving running around in the wind. And because my husband and I are both also fans of World War II history, we thought, oh, why not? We'll take the hospital tour. So they do these underground hospital tours. Now, these are immersive experiences. You get to smell things, see things, hear things. There's a lot of sound effects. So while we were in the tunnels exploring and we were walking around with a group, this is where the first kind of strange thing happened to me. So I mentioned that there are sound effects and there are things that you could smell and all that, those sorts of things. As we were going around, from the corner of my eye, I distinctly saw what I thought to me looked like two nurses, maybe, or a nurse and a doctor, two people sort of rush by me with a stretcher. Now, this wasn't like solid people. It was, if you think about movies when they try and show that someone's traveling really quickly and the kind of lines that go, you know, that to show that they're moving at high speed, it was a little bit like that. The strangest thing was that the moment that kind of happened, the guide said, well, if anything strange is going to happen to you in these tunnels, in this underground hospital, this is the place for it. So that was, that left me a little bit shaken. And I really didn't even get time to say anything to my husband before he had said that. So anyway, as you do in these situations, you go, oh, well, and you continue on your day. And so we continued and we finished exploring the castle and went to finally check in at our guest house, which was the Maison Dieu guest house in Dover. A beautiful little place. From the window of our room, we could see Dover Castle perched nice and high, and at night it was lit up by all the floodlights, so it was just absolutely stunning. And the room was beautifully decorated and very cozy room, but we did have our three beds in there, so it was big enough for that. Now, we also, when we got there, we realized, well, they don't serve dinner there. So we had to go on another adventure and quite a long walk with our two kids. Can you imagine what they were like by this stage? To find dinner near sort of the harbor, near Dover Harbor, an Italian restaurant, I think, from memory. Anyway, so by the time we got back, we had been going for a very long time. We probably got to bed and it was around 11 p.m. Now, anyone that knows me knows that I take my personal security quite seriously, especially when I'm traveling. My brother-in-law nicknamed my house Fort Knox. And it's not that I go overboard, it's that I am known for double checking doors at night, making sure that windows are closed, especially when you're traveling and you've got young children with you. So I distinctly remember, and I'm sure my husband can attest to this, that I triple checked the door to the room before we went to bed that night. I always use the sort of extra security latch that most hotel doors have, so that you can only open the door from the inside. Well, that's what I thought anyway. So we went to bed, like I say, probably around 11 p.m. I'm a very light sleeper, although I was really tired that night. I think we were all quite exhausted from our huge day. But I was woken up probably at around 3 o'clock in the morning by light. So you know when you've got your eyes closed, you're sleeping, but you can distinctly see that there's some light in the room. So I open my eyes and really couldn't believe what I saw. I opened my eyes and saw the door of the room, so the door leading to the landing of the, you know, we were on the first floor. So there was like a landing at the top of the staircase, and there was a few rooms around that. The door was halfway open and very gently being closed. Now, I still get goosebumps thinking about this. I froze for a second, watched as it was gently closed. I couldn't see who was I couldn't see anyone closing it. I could just see the door closing and the light disappearing. My first reaction, of course, was to check my children to make sure that they're still there in their bed sleeping. And thank God they were both happily tucked in and snoring away. My husband was still there. He hadn't been kidnapped. So my second thought was, what on earth just happened? So I jumped out of bed and opened the door. And the landing was all lit. There was a light outside. But quiet, there was no one there, absolutely nothing. So I just went back in, closed the door, did my triple checking of all the locks again, and jumped into bed. I can't remember if it was at that point that my husband woke up and I told him what had happened, or whether I just kind of tried to get back to sleep and told him in the morning, but he couldn't believe it because he obviously saw me put the security latch on and lock everything and check everything 10 times as I do. Yet for some reason at 3 o'clock in the morning, that door was open and very gently closing. I suppose what freaks me out a little bit is the thought that, well, it was someone walking around our room, having a look at us while we were sleeping. Because of course I only caught the end of it as they were leaving. Was it a someone or was it a something? I don't know. All I know is that that door, I have no idea how it was opened from the outside, considering the lock, the latch that I had put from the inside. I'm sure that that door could only really be opened from the inside. So I don't know, lovely listeners, I leave it up to you. It's a small thing, but it's one of those things that gets kind of imprinted on your memory. I really can't explain what happened that day. I can't explain what happened in the underground hospital, and I can't explain what happened at the Maison Dieu Hotel. My husband said, oh, you should tell the lady that runs the guest house. But I actually didn't. I don't know why. I just thought, no, I'm just going to keep it to myself. So I ended up not saying anything. So I would absolutely love to hear from anyone that stayed there and has had anything unusual happen. I don't remember the room number, but I remember that from the window, looking out to the right, I could see Dover Castle. So if you've stayed in that same room, if you've had something strange happen to you in that room, I would love to hear from you. Please let me know. So there's just a couple. I've had many things happen over my life, but I want to get on to my guests. More coming up straight after another short little music break. welcome back to Talking Tudors, Sandy.
Thank you very much. I'm thrilled to be back. I love Talking Tudors, Natalie, for having me.
Thank you so much. Now, this is a little bit different to our normal episodes because this is more Talking Tudor ghost stories in this one. Yeah. And I know that you have had a very interesting experience happen at actually one of my favourite Tudor locations, the beautiful Thornbury Castle in Gloucestershire. So would you be willing to share with us a little bit about what happened to you when you were at Thornbury?
Yes, I'd love to talk with you about what happened when my husband and I stayed in Thornbury. It was a couple of years ago, and I was really thrilled because we had booked the Duke's Bedchamber, where I know that you stayed also, Natalie. And I think I was surprised a little bit by the whole atmosphere at Thornbury when I arrived, because having been at Hever and at Hampton Court Palace and, you know, a number of other locations, which are fantastic. The atmosphere and the environment at Thornbury I found distinctly different. It's very, first of all, it, you know, having been built by Edward Stafford, Duke of Buckingham, he had great plans for this palace. It was really going to be a palace. He was very, very wealthy. And his plans may have outstripped his ability to defend them, because it became suspect that he was building a lot of this potentially to have a claim on the crown. And so one of the things that you notice there is that it's the building is actually uneven. It's been unfinished. It was unfinished. Some of it then has, for example, the Great Hall has deteriorated and fallen down over the centuries, and it's not been repaired because, you know, there haven't been the funds to do that. So you have a building that is really impressive, ominous, unfinished, and some of it has been destroyed. But then you have the residences in there where people stay, which are very beautiful, but they're not glitzy. So if you know what I mean, they haven't been, they of course have been refurbished during Victorian times, but there's enough that remains of the original look and feel that as soon as you walk in there, at least for me, I got very much a sense of the past, a very strong sense of the past without having, you know, without it being covered over by, you know, kind of the sheen of redecoration, you know, and renovation over the years. So right away, I could feel that it was a place that was alive with history. And I, you know, was fortunate enough to have a guide there who gave us some of the stories of the past. And there are quite a number of people who have had experiences there, kind of all kinds, in different rooms and in different places to stay. But that being said, I my husband and I were just enjoying our visit. There's the beautiful restaurant, which actually had been the Duchess's Chambers and was the location where Anne stayed when she and Henry were there on Progress in 1535. And they have a beautiful bar. So, you know, we were really just enjoying ourselves, having drinks, having a nice dinner, going out, walking the grounds. And we did some falconry. So my point is, I don't think my mind was on ghosts or what might happen. And I think we spent we were there for three nights.
Oh, wow.
And the first night, it was great. The first night, we really enjoyed, you know, staying there. And I think we were probably back up in our room by about 10:30, quarter to 11. And it's just so fascinating because it's like, I think it's like an octagonal shape.
It's an octagonal. Yeah, that whole Southwest Tower is octagonal. It's amazing.
Yes, it's a tower. And down below, so, you know, the rooms are kind of stacked upon each other. And down below is the restaurant, which had been the Duchess's, you know, bedchamber.
Exactly.
And then the next floor, accessible through a winding stone staircase, is the Duke's bedchamber, which is where Henry stayed when they were there. And then above that, is another set of rooms. But when we were there, there was nobody. There was nobody in those rooms. I think they used them for storage, frankly. I don't think they put any guests above.
Right.
And then when you're in the octagonal bedchamber, there you can see where at one point there had been a doorway through which the Duke and then Henry and I guess any, you know, guests who stayed at that particular time could walk out on a walkway that would lead directly to the church.
Exactly.
And it was covered. So at that time, so that you would go right out of that bedchamber along this walkway, and in that way the king or the Duke could access the church without having to kind of mingle with the great unwashed, the people down below. But that has been since closed over. But when you are looking at the tower from the outside, you can very distinctly see where that was. And then the other unique feature is there's a garderobe in the, there's a bathroom in the bedchamber, and it's tiny. So, you know, there's actually, they've put in, you know, they've built out from the walls a beautiful bathroom for, you know, use of the guests now. But the original garderobe, which was quite a unique feature, and, you know, Stafford built that for himself. You know, it was like the height of luxury then to have an ensuite toilet.
Exactly, that's right.
Right? It was ensuite, and that is there, and it's, you know, it's so cool to be in there and kind of look out those windows. And you look out over the beautiful Tudor garden, which is the same as it was in the day. It was a beautiful garden then, and it is a garden now. So anyway, the first night we stayed there, we had really a great time. And, you know, you're kind of, it's, you're probably in the location where a bed would have been at that point, because right opposite is the hearth.
That's
There's
right.
a big hearth in that room. And, you know, you can turn on the fireplace. It's gas now, but you can turn it on. But it's a big, beautiful hearth. And so the first night passed, and it was great. And the next day, I think we went out hiking. And, you know, you can just really picture where they would have been hunting. Come back, and we had a nice dinner. And, you know, we went back upstairs to go to bed. And, you know, we went to bed. I guess we fell asleep around 11 o'clock. And, you know, my husband, by the way, had, so I was taking some pictures with my iPhone. He had a Nikon 35 millimeter small digital camera that we had been using on our trip, where we had been a number of places before we reached Thornbury. And he'd been taking a lot of photos, and he took a lot of photos at Thornbury. But anyway, we went to bed that night, and around probably 3 or 3:30 in the morning, we heard the loudest boom. It was like, boom! It was so loud. We both sat straight up in bed, and I said to Tom, "What was that?" And he said, "It sounded like a cannon." I mean, it was shocking.
Wow.
It was really, really, really loud, and it was really unnerving. So, you know, we kind of gathered ourselves, laid back down, went to sleep. Maybe an hour and a half later, again.
Oh, my goodness.
Boom! This huge boom. Now I felt like it was coming through the hearth, through the fireplace. But, I mean, it freaked us out. It freaked me out. And, you know, then I thought, I don't know whether I can go back to sleep. And I thought, what the heck was it? It was so loud that it literally shook the bed. So, laid back down, tried to go to sleep. It happened again. So now it's like 5:30 in the morning. It's still dark and equally loud. You know, this hugely loud, not a crash, but like a boom.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was it. I was not going back to sleep. I was just up, and, you know, we got up the next morning, and I said to Tom, what do you think it is? And he's a little more pragmatic than I am. He said, I don't know, maybe somebody shut the door. So, but don't forget, the restaurant is now closed down. They're downstairs. We're on the second floor. There's nobody above us. And as you know, Natalie, Gloucestershire is pretty sleepy. There's like not a lot of people out, you know, late night partying at bars, or it's just not that kind of a town.
No.
So, you know, he said, well, maybe somebody was slamming the door. And I said, but who would be slamming the door? And even if it was the door, like, you know, who would be doing that? So we went down and we talked with the ladies in reception, and I told her, and she just was kind of like, well, and Tom said, well, I think probably they were getting deliveries. And she said, we don't get deliveries in the middle of the night.
Yes.
Here. And then he said, well, maybe it was the porter. She said, you know, there's a night watchman, but he does not go in and out of the buildings. He stays behind the desk. And if any calls come through, he answers them. And that's where he's
that's his job. Yeah.
His job. So what was it? I don't know. But I'll tell you what, it really did. It freaked me out. It was very, very strange. It was very loud. And it was very insistent. So I think the next night was our last night there, and we're getting ready for dinner. And, you know, I'm a little bit slower than my husband. So he's looking at his camera, and he is wanting to go through and look at some of the pictures. He picks up the camera. He doesn't even turn it on, and it comes on, and the menu started scrolling and just scrolling and scrolling through the menu like rapidly. And he couldn't get it to stop. So in other words, you couldn't access any of the pictures,
right?
But the camera's like going kind of crazy. So he turned it off. He switched the off button, and now he turned it back on again, and it starts scrolling through again, the menu, and he can't get to look at any of the photos. So he just put it away. And then we were finished our visit at Thornbury. And we went to the next location where we were, and, you know, he pulled out the camera and he turned it on, and it seemed okay. Mm-hmm. And he looked, and I tell you honestly, all the pictures of Thornbury were gone.
Oh my goodness, that's just...
So there were no pictures of Thornbury, but there were pictures that he had taken before.
Before, yeah.
And he was able to take pictures afterwards. So we get home, and he takes the camera to the camera shop, where there's a Nikon technician who took it through the whole protocol, and he said, I cannot find anything the matter with this camera. Mm-hmm. He said, I don't know what to tell you. Those pictures are gone. You know, the camera seems fine. And, you know, he jokingly said, Tom said, well, maybe it's a ghost in the machine. And he said, maybe, because, you know, camera's fine. But we did not have a single picture that he took at Thornbury. So I had some pictures. I took a few that were not great because he had the great camera.
Yes, of course.
He was doing most of the photography, but I did have photos of the room and, you know, I had photos of the stairwell, and I had photos, which I really treasure, of the mounting block that's out in the courtyard.
Ah, yes.
Because you see that? It is the original mounting block, and Anne absolutely would have used that to mount her horse when they went out hunting or whenever they were going to ride out. And it has the insignia of, you know, the Duke of Buckingham in it. So and it's, you know, they're very worn, but there they are. I think that those are really cool. But that's my story about Thornbury. I don't know. I'm not going to begin to suggest what it might or might not have been. But that's what happened to us, and it was strange.
That is a little strange, because I know that's a very quiet place around Thornbury. So I'm trying to think, what could it have been? I don't know. I stayed in that very same bed chamber, as you know, Sandy, some years back with my sister, actually.
Yes.
And I can't say that we had the best sleep. I love Thornbury and I loved the bed chamber, right. But nothing in particular happened.
No.
But both of us had a very uneasy sort of sleep. We just kept kind of waking up, rolling around, tossing and turning. There's not a huge double bed in there, so we were a bit kind of squishy. But there was just a sense of something. Yeah. We were a little bit apprehensive. You mentioned the spiral staircase leading up to the rooms. That is the original spiral staircase. So you are literally walking in their footsteps when you are going, you know, between the garden and your room. And and as you say, it's not glitzy. I think because of all the stonework that's there, it's very... It feels really like the past is tangible when you're there, doesn't it?
It really does. And clearly, those stairs, and we know that at that particular time, first of all, that progress, which you are very familiar with, having written a lot about it, Anne and Henry were they were having a really good time together. They were enjoying themselves. They were very much in harmony. They were going from place to place, and it was a vacation as well as a purposeful visit. So, it's more than likely, it's, probably a de definite that they stayed in that room together, that she ascended the stone staircase and, was in that room, and they stayed in the room together because it did have the guardrobe and it had the beautiful windows that looked out. And, I think probably her suite was also very nice, but, I'm sure they stayed together. So there they were in that room. And, we were getting the big booms and the no pictures.
Oh, that's
So.
just amazing. And what I wanted to also ask you is, did you end up inquiring whether any other guest had heard it, or you did?
Yes, nobody. I mean, we did want to know whether anybody else had heard anything, but we were the only ones in that tower, so
Right,
sure
yeah.
that nobody else had reported anything.
Isn't that so
Because they do
fascinating?
guest in another wing. Like there's a wing, and then there's also an additional wing that goes off of that. And so, yeah, I don't know whether anybody else heard it. That's a good question. So.
And it's interesting with the camera, because I've heard, so many stories of play where people have reported kind of strange goings on, and then there is difficulty with technology. That is just seems to go hand in hand with cameras not taking pictures or just switching off, or
Yes.
that, like I've heard that so many times, and it kind of makes you wonder what's going on there, what's happening. That's so
Really does.
fascinating.
And those happenings with the camera happened in that room. It was when we were in that room. So, I mean, I remember finishing getting ready for dinner, and Tom is looking at the camera. He's like, "What is going on with this? It's just scrolling and scrolling and scrolling so fast. I can't get it to stop." So, that happened twice, and then all the photos were gone. So,
Oh, fascinating
really
story.
interesting. But Thornbury is such a fantastic place.
It is. I completely agree. It's one of my favorites.
It is. So thank you for allowing me,
No.
the time to share my
Thank
ghostly
you. Yeah, I
tale.
love that. It's perfect for our Halloween episode. And actually,
Yeah.
Sandy, I've got a champagne afternoon tea booked at Thornbury next year to celebrate a friend's birthday. And now I'm thinking, oh, should I just stay there? Should I splurge and stay there again? Because I'm actually planning to stay somewhere else. But oh, I
Yes,
might
you
just.
should. You really, really should.
Oh gosh, it's so tempting. All right, I'm going to keep that in my mind. But thank you so much for sharing your spooky Tudor ghost story with us. Thank you, Sandy.
Thanks, Natalie.
Thank you. Welcome back to Talking Tutors, Adrian. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. And thank you so much for agreeing to be part of this special Talking Tutors Halloween episode.
Absolutely. Thanks for asking me.
Now, I just spoke just before you, actually, to Sandra Vasoli about a very interesting experience she had at Thornbury Castle. So I'm really looking forward now to hearing about your experience that you had recently at Hever Castle. So would you mind sharing a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's actually kind of funny because my story includes Sandy. So I sort of think maybe, you know, maybe they're just attracted to her.
Perhaps, yeah.
So last year, I went with Sandy and her husband and some friends of hers to Hever, and my family was there with me, and we stayed the night there, which is just an amazing experience. So that was incredible to begin with.
Yeah, it must have been.
Yeah. But on our last night there, we all walked to dinner at the Henry VIII pub, which is just down the road. And, you know, by the time we got done eating, it was pretty late in the evening. And, like, it was so dark. It was almost pitch black outside. And so it was really hard to see anything. You know, you could hardly see your hands in front of your face. But, of course, it's in the country and there isn't, you know, street lights. And so it just made it all the more darker and spookier. you know, we got back down to the castle and we wanted to go see what it looked like during the evening. And of course, they have all of these floodlights around the castle. So, you know, you can still see. But even with those lights, it's still pretty dark. You know, you can see the areas that the lights are trained on, but you can't really see a whole lot else. So we kind of were hanging out in front of the paved area right in front of the castle, taking pictures and looking into the windows. And, you know, of course, we were all kind of trying to scare each other. Saying, ooh, did you see that? Did you see that? You know, and, you know, we thought maybe we saw something moving in one of the gatehouse windows. But, you know, of course, we kind of just collectively decided that it was just a shadow or our wild imaginations. So, you know, as we were kind of hanging out there, my son, he was 9 at the time, he started taking pictures with his digital camera. And, you know, he's kind of one of those kids who will just take picture after picture until the memory card is all filled up. So we ended up with a lot of pictures. But as we were standing there, he was kind of, you know, looking through them. Well, I should back up a little bit because while he was taking photos, my husband had decided, you know, he was going to go over and kind of explore a little bit closer to the castle. And so he went over and he was down kind of near the moat, like he squatted down taking pictures. And I could hear him, you know, he was like kind of talking to himself. And then all of a sudden, you know, I heard him say, "What the heck?" And he like stood up and, you know, he comes back over towards us. And so while Logan is busily taking pictures, I asked him what happened. And he said that, you know, he was right in the middle of taking a picture and his phone just like shut off.
Right. Okay. Yep. Technology again. I was just discussing this with Sandy.
Yeah. He said he was literally, the screen was on. He went to press the button and the phone, like the screen just went black. And, you know, so he turned it back on. You know, he couldn't, while he was down there, he was trying to get it to come back on and it wasn't coming back on. But by the time he'd got back up to us, the screen had come back on. Like it had to shut back on, like it had totally shut off. Yeah. And so he looked at the battery and the battery was fine. He still had, you know, almost a whole battery, and some of the pictures that he had taken were gone.
Fine.
So yeah, it was like there were pictures of, you know, the Henry VIII pub, and then there was nothing like after.
Gosh, so odd, isn't it?
Yeah, it was really weird. So while we're talking, Logan has decided to go back and look at his photos, and he's kind of going through them, and I can hear the click, 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 and then I hear this, wow, and then, Sandy, look at this. And so Sandy, you know, walked over, and she was like, you really need to come over and see this. So I looked at it and it was so funny because it looked almost like your breath, when it's cold out and you, but it wasn't, I mean, it was chilly, but it wasn't that cold. I mean, it was
Yeah.
mid-October,
Right,
about
okay.
the same time, but it had actually been really beautiful that day. The sun was out and it wasn't cold enough to have the breath, but of course, that's kind of your first instinct.
Yeah. So you couldn't
Yeah.
actually see, like when you were just in conversation and talking, you couldn't see your breath. It wasn't something that you saw before with the photo.
No,
No.
not at all. But you instantly your mind goes to trying to think, okay, there has to be something logical. So we kind of looked at the other photos around it, and that was the only photo that kind of had that artifact in it. And it was funny because we were like, okay, Logan, breathe. Let's take a picture. And we just could not, we were trying, we could not recreate it. So it was so weird.
That is really odd. And I have seen the photo that you're talking about. And I don't know if you're happy to share it. I'm happy to share it with our listeners so they know what we're actually
Oh,
talking about. So that would be
yeah,
great. Because
absolutely.
it's quite, yeah, it's quite an interesting picture, especially when you see the series, which is what you showed me, the photo but directly before, that photo and the photo after, and how there's only that whatever it is in this sort of one photo, which is odd and so interesting that your husband was having issues at the same time that your son's snapping away.
Yeah, absolutely. I know. It was so weird. And he kept saying that he felt like it was a little. I don't know. Like he just said it felt kind of different
Is that
when
your
he was.
husband or your son?
Yeah, my husband, because
Right.
he's quite a ways from us. We were in the area, so right before you go into the castle, there's kind of this big paved area in front of it, with
That's right, yeah.
the benches and stuff. But then he was over more towards like where the maze is.
Right, okay, yep.
Yeah, so and he was much closer to the castle than we were. And so, I mean, it didn't really feel like anything where we were, but of course we were busy talking and laughing and socializing.
That's right, yeah, exactly.
So we probably weren't very attuned to it, but he did mention that he felt like it was just kind of a different energy over where he was at. And it could be because it was really dark. And so he just kind of, sometimes when it's really dark like that, you kind of feel like you see shadows, more than you would
Absolutely, yeah. Yep.
your imagination.
And especially when you're at a place like Hever Castle. Definitely. That's so exciting. And did you experience anything else on that trip? I've never asked you that actually.
No, that was really the only thing. I mean, that was really the only thing that we experienced that was, unusual, but it did seem everything just seemed really atmospheric. Especially when we were at Hever because, we walked from the train, and so when you walk to the castle from the train station, you kind of go through, this kind of rolling field and there's herds of sheep and not a lot of kind of civilization
Yes.
once you get into there. And so it was so easy to really imagine what it would have been like, when Anne was there. And then we went to a service, an evensong service in the chapel.
Oh, how wonderful. I didn't know that. That's amazing.
Oh, it was so amazing. It was just incredible. And it was just Sandy and I, so we just went and they welcomed us and they were
Oh.
so sweet and asking us questions and talking about how long they've gone to that church. And it was really a great experience. And so the next time you get to Hever, if they have a service, I really recommend it.
Oh, absolutely. I'm adding that to my list. And how amazing sitting there and you're sitting exactly where the Boleyn sat to worship during their time at the castle. So that is, yeah, that just makes all the hairs are standing up on my arms. I love
Yes,
that.
it really was.
Wow.
And actually, so I have to tell you that I don't know if Sandy told you this, but Well, we had gone into the church before we went to dinner. And so the four of us, it was Sandy and James Peacock of the Amplified Society.
Yes. Love you,
and
James.
Catherine, yes, and Catherine Brooks of the Tudor Society.
Wow.
We had gone in to see Thomas Boleyn's
His tomb. His tomb.
Yeah. And while we were there, a young lady came in and she was knelt down and looking at the grave of, you know, Anne Boleyn's little brother.
Yes.
And she says, she looks up at us and she goes, "Are you on the trail of the Tudors too?"
Wow. So we're not the only ones, Adrian. There you go.
Yes. Well, I just immediately, we all kind of looked at each other and we were like, I wonder if she's read on the Tudor trail. it was so funny because the way that she said it, it really sounded like, you know, are you on the trail? Are you following the trail? And so it was so perfect.
Oh, that's wonderful. No, I didn't know that story either. I love that. That's so funny. Really funny. And yeah, that chapel's beautiful. So anyone that goes for a visit, do you know that there was, I went on one occasion and actually forgot to go in. So, you know, you just have to, you know, sometimes where you, when you're overseas and you're kind of, you've been exploring a lot, you're a little bit tired and you do things like that. You just think, oh, don't worry, I'll see it next time. And you're thinking, when's the next time going to be? So now I always explore the little churches connected to any of the places because they're just treasures, aren't they? Absolute treasures.
They really are. And they really add so much. You know, I know that it's a, you know, Hever really is kind of a tourist destination. And so there are kind of some aspects of it that are a bit kind of touristy. And that happens, you know, at a lot of these amazing places. But when you go into the churches, that's still, it's not like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it really gives you a sense of, I think, a deeper sense of what it would have been like during, you know, the time when these people lived.
What a fabulous location. How lucky that you got to stay there as well. That I haven't done that yet. It's on my bucket list.
Oh, I highly recommend it because after, you know, when after everybody's gone home, you can basically wander, you know, even after everything's closed up. You can't actually go into the castle after it's closed, but you can wander the grounds and it's just, it's gorgeous and it's so peaceful. And I highly recommend staying and then taking your coffee on the loggia.
Oh, yes. That sounds just perfect, doesn't it?
Yes. Oh, it's incredible.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, Adrian, thank you so much for sharing your story with us and for allowing us to share your picture, which I will do. So for our listeners, look out for that. I'll share it on the notes page. That's what I'll do. That sounds really good. And hopefully on social media as well. So just look out for that. So thank you, Adrian.
You are so welcome. Thanks for having me. And I'd love to hear what anybody thinks it might be.
Yes, absolutely. Share your thoughts. Great. Thank you so much. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode of Talking Tudors. Thank you so much for listening. If you have any comments or suggestions or just want to say hi, please get in touch with me via my website www.onthetudortrail.com, where you will also find show notes for today's episode. If you've enjoyed the show, please share the podcast with friends and family and click on the all-important follow button so you'll never miss an episode. I also invite you to join our Talking Tudors podcast group on Facebook, where you can interact with other Tudor history lovers and hear all the behind-the-scenes news. It's time now for us to re-enter the modern world. As always, I look forward to talking Tudors with you again very soon.